We are back. This is Asian Cult Cinema,
nice.
Show 35.
35, nice. Yep.
My name's Mao. With me, as always,
Buck Morbius.
From Parts Unknown. This is the radio show dedicated to bringing you all kinds of crazy Asian cinema.
Yes.
Of
the cultish nature, yes.
Yes, interesting.
And today we got another cultish.
This one was
classic. This is a big budget movie.
Oh yeah, it was also there was a couple different genres going on in this movie.
Oh sure there was.
What was interesting. There was like they were kind of trying to be spy thriller and
gangster,
then erotic gangster and
sci-fi.
Pirate and sci-fi. You're like, what's going on here? Pick a genre and
I
go with it.
I remember seeing this on the CBS late night movie like in the 70s. I remember watching it because I was in my room and all of a sudden it was like, I don't know, I wasn't sleeping, but it was like dark and all of a sudden the light comes on and I hear the TV and my mom, I guess she was couldn't sleep, so she's watching The H-Man, which is our movie today.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, what's that? He goes, oh, I couldn't sleep, so I'm watching it. Okay, so I watched it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool movie. Strange.
Different. Very different. Very strange.
There's another one like this, sort of like it, called The Human Vapor, which is a similar style. I think it's gangsters and, you know, sci-fi or whatever.
Sure.
Hey, man, they're just, you know, it's like, hey, you got chocolate in my peanut butter, you know. Hey.
Whatever.
It's like Reese's, Japanese Reese's peanut butter cup of movie.
I did wish one of my knocks against the movie was, before that, I kind of wondering, what's your take on this? Now, this was a Japanese production, Japanese movie. And it was dubbed, like they always are, for not always. Sometimes they're subtitled, which is obviously usually the preferred method, but sometimes you don't feel like reading a movie and dubbed it. Okay, yeah, and they just dubbed it. But they dubbed it sounding like a Japanese person.
I was like,
that doesn't seem like that was off-putting a little bit.
Now it is.
Yeah, now I guess now it is.
But now it is.
I mean,
back then it wasn't.
Yeah, I was like, because we're used to hearing the kung fu movies, especially it's Austrian, Australian, if anything. But I mean, it's English, and they don't even pretend to be of Asian culture. This one, they were doing the Asian English, as it were, and I was like, huh.
Well, you know, I mean,
didn't dislike it. I just is
they're. Basically, for you know, lack of a better, they're actually trying to do something as opposed to just getting some Aussies to go like, I reckon I'm going to kick your ass.
Oi, get over here.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to do something. Whether
you diggery do.
Whether it offends you or not, that's up to you.
You blooming onion.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, Paul Frees is one of the voices. I forgot who it was, but yeah, they do like your number one son, Charlie Chan voice or whatever.
Yeah, it was.
And back then, it
was different.
What's weirder? To hear like people dubbing Asian in some stereotypical Asian voice, or to get like all these Asian people talking like, you know, oh, hi, how are you doing, Mary? Oh, I'm fine. You know, John, you know.
Or what's worse, Woody Allen. Or Woody Allen in your movie. That's the big one.
Yeah, so
I still have to find last week's movie. I want to watch that as a movie, not as a Woody Allen movie.
You type in What's Up Tiger Lily on Amazon, it's probably there. I'm sure it's on there. It came out from Image a few years ago.
Because that one,
I think it's got the other one in as a bonus.
Oh, see, I don't want to buy the Tiger Lily one. I just want to buy the other one.
We'll double check it later. I think it brings the other one as a bonus.
Mm.
Or at least dubbed with the original dub.
I should write them and say, if I give you extra money, can I just have the spy movie and not the Woody Allen one?
Just cut the DVD in half.
Just cut it in half. That'd be perfect for me. No.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, back to our movie. This one, but it was a good production. I mean, it was a great movie. The print was gorgeous. I mean, I really liked the print you gave me. I don't know if it was a torrent or if it was YouTube.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't from YouTube.
What a nice copy of the H-Man.
You know? This was Honda, the guy who did all the Godzilla movies. You know, this is
you could tell.
Movie. Yeah,
I mean,
the shots were nice. You know, the colors were beautiful.
He loves ships.
Yeah,
he always works a ship into it there somehow.
Yeah.
You know, like, because then they had that ghost ship, which was eerie.
Yeah, that was cool.
That added so much nuance and ambiance to it, you know, because they're just getting on this weird boat, you know, and you're like, ugh. There's been a few different movies made about the ghost ships, the ghost boats, you know.
We watched a couple of them.
Yeah, and they're always intriguing.
That one ghost ship was a Nazi ghost ship or whatever.
Yeah, that's right, the Nazi ghost ship. That was the best.
That was a weird one, man.
That was a TV movie, wasn't it?
No, there's a scene where the woman's taking a shower.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It played on TV one time, like in the late 80s on local TV, unedited in Miami. I was like, whoa.
That guy wanted to lose his job. He was like, watch this, I'm going to get fired.
The editor was like, yeah, go ahead, put it on, it doesn't matter.
It's fine, no one cares, no one watches this station.
All of a sudden it's like, hey now.
that's somebody that just wants to get fired.
I think they actually repeated it too.
I love it.
Yeah.
Go out in a blaze of glory. So back to the H, man. Where does this start? This starts with the robbery. Yeah, the guy. There's a local thug sitting in his car,
waiting, just idling.
And there's like, but it was set like you were following these two, this girl and guy, like walking in the rain, kind of like playfully,
yeah,
just going
really nicely shot. It was not like an average director would just show the car sitting there. Like,
yeah, no, but
Honda's just trying to do something, you know, lead your eye.
Yeah,
to the scene.
So you follow this couple as they walk down the street. Then a cop walks up. He's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, just waiting for a girl.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see ya.
Yeah.
Then this guy pops up out of the sewer who was delivering narcotics. And the guy just starts shooting at the ground and then melts. And you're like, what? What's happening now? And when he starts shooting, it panics the thug that's waiting for the drugs. And he drives away. And then
it's a weird thing because you don't know what the hell's going on right there.
Yeah, they don't talk about it.
So it's going like, why is he shooting at the ground?
And
And wasn't there another car that almost hit him?
They
thought another car hit him, but basically the other car stopped. And then,
that's after the guy. The thug drives away, and then the thing followed him up from the sewer.
Well, we don't know.
And
yet
he's shooting in the ground, and then he like this car almost hits him and stops dead.
And all they find is his like suit, you know,
his watch and his Zippo lighter.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Just laying on the ground with no body or whatever. You know, like, oh, that's weird.
And everyone's like, oh my god, that guy just disappeared. And the cops don't believe it. And all these witnesses are like, no, a guy just disappeared. Like he was there, then he wasn't. So you know. That's kind of weird. And he's like, and all the cops are like, okay, a nude guy ran away, whatever.
So then they
discover a bag of drugs, which is how we know he's a narcotics druggy guy, you know.
So then I think the cops call in the driver, I think it was the driver that like almost ran him over.
Yeah, that's
it. To see if they could identify the guy.
Yeah.
And so they're showing him the books and he's like, nope. And I go, are you sure you're... No. And then finally he's like shuts up and they go, oh, him? Oh, okay. We know where he is. You know?
And then they go to their place and there his widow's there. Or well, not his widow.
His girlfriend.
His girlfriend
is there.
We know it's his widow. They bring her in and they're being so weird. She's like, oh, I got to change. And the guy's like looking, watching her through the screen.
Yeah.
But then she's like, she was going to jump out and run away, but she looked down and there was cops there.
Yeah. She's going to escape because she's like, you know.
She knows what's going on, but she plays really dumb.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, so now she's down there and she's like, that's his watch and that's his thing. I know I gave it to him. It was a present. And she's like, what's going on here? And they're like, well, we're trying to find him. And she's like, well, I don't know where he is. And then they kind of lean on her real hard saying, he's a drug dealer. And she's like, no, he's not. He just did. I don't know what he did. He never talked about it. And I was just a lounge act.
Yeah.
Which we see right after this. A smash cuts to her.
Yeah, we get a couple of numbers. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, you know, the gang that he's been dealing drugs with is going to come and kill you. She's like, well, that's no good either. You know. And then they're like, okay, well, see ya. You know, if he shows up, he's better off coming into the old, he's better off coming in and telling us what happened thing.
Yeah.
You know. All right, we're going to take a trailer break, and then we'll come back for
part two.
Ramps up. Yeah. And ramps up into all the right ways. Yowza.
Hey guys, come check out Two Dimension Comics, the comic book podcast with no direction.
We feature candid roundtable discussions about all things comics, past and present, with a killer soundtrack.
We like to include visuals of everything we talk about on the show. You can find that by going to BunchDorks.com
and click on the Cyclops!
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
He, more hideous than Jack the Ripper. She, bloodier than Bluebeard. No one is safe in The Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, filmed in sensational Bloody Vision. Movie monsters come alive and go into the audience. You are suddenly surrounded by monsters. You become a party to the horror in The Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, starring Cash Flagg in bloody color.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Yes, and along with the two dimension on a bunch of dorks, you can also hear us. Slow Robot a Go-Go. We're talking about B-movies. It's a lot of fun. You know. So, yeah, do and, that. And, go to bunchofdorks.com.
And the defunct Bunch of Dorks podcast, yeah. Too.
There's one on the bottom that's all full of anger and rage, but that's like, it was a 10-year run, and then we stopped. So, anyway, enough
back
of that.
To our movie.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. This was, at this point, we smash cut to her lounge act.
Yes.
and it starts off with some very scantily clad gals dancing, and that's just fine. And then she starts singing, and this is obviously not her song. And I was like, oh, I wish they would have used the Japanese song, because I'm sure it was a lot better, but...
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it's whatever. So it was what it was. And then this is where the gangsters start leaning on her.
Yeah. There's all these gangsters.
Yeah, see? Where's our drugs? See? And you're like, oh, boy, you know... She's really in a bad way.
And then the cops show up, too, so because they're watching her, too. Yeah. You know? They're in there trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
And then this is where... Now this... Doesn't somebody else disappears? And then somebody disappears again, like this slime. Well, we don't even see the slime yet. Someone else does that vanishing act where all their clothing.
Well, yeah, the driver, right? He's the one that he shows up. So he's trying to grill her to say, hey, where is he? And where's the drugs? And she's like, you know, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the hell's going on. He goes, well, you better like, you know, no, he does. He dies at the end.
Yeah.
That's right. He comes in to hassle her, but then they scare him off, I think. He ends up taking
the cops take her. Yeah. And like that's what I mean. I'm not getting this chronologically right. At some point someone else melts. And then this scientist comes in and he's like, "Look, police officer, you got to start taking this seriously because
it comes through the window." Yeah, there's a scientist that gets involved. That
he's like, "We've been doing age bomb tests and this is what's happening." And then the cops are like, "Ha, rump." And then they take him to this science lab and melt a frog and say, see, this gel, this crap is what is doing this to people. And he's like, I don't believe you. And then they're like, but wait, there's more. Then he takes him to this hospital where there's these fishermen.
There's two fishermen. Then they tell the story.
Right.
That they were like they were just like on the sea. And all of a sudden they saw this like boat out of nowhere, just like, you know, and then they go, wow, what the hell was going on? It's kind of like in Space Probe Taurus, you know, they went in like the movie we did in Slow Robot.
Sure, why not?
And so they go in a ship and they're looking around and they're finding all these clothes. And one guy's, hey, maybe we can wear this. It's going to be really cool.
Oh, so weird.
And then like this blob pops up, but then it turns into like a guy.
A vapor kind of.
A vapor
thing, yeah.
Guy, this green glowing neon dude or whatever. And he just absorbs the one
it's
dude.
Like be a slime thing or be a person, but don't.
Yeah.
You can't be both. I don't know. And it, one thing that was so eerie was, now this was in a long ago era, the captain was writing in his log and the pen stuck straight into the ground. Like he dissolved and the pen just dropped directly into the ground and stuck. It was very cool. You know, and it freaked those guys out and they're like, we're out of here. 23 Skidoo. And they just ran to their ship and took off after the other guy died. So then they told that story, and then the cop walks out. He's like, I still don't believe it. That's just the ramblings of idiot
fishermen. Well, actually,
you know,
before he tells that story, a cool shot, though, was when they escape from the ship, and they go back on their ship, and they cast away. There was a scene where, like, the ship is going away, and then they see the ghost ship, and then all of a sudden you see, like, it's really dark, and these two little green glowing figures pop up, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Scary,
that's kind of
nice.
Yeah,
for a kid, especially.
Eerie, yeah. It was eerie, but it was pretty, too. You know, it was kind of a weird thing. But, yeah. then they don't believe anything, you know.
Of course.
So
not.
then we get another gangster scene or whatever. Yeah. You know, we get another musical number, and we get some Japanese jazz that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I love that. It was almost like, it's like really hip. Like
you could probably get the soundtrack to this and on Amazon, and you'll hear the songs that you missed out on from, you know, and the jazz, which was kind of cool. You know, so we get some little peppy jazz, and we get a little number or whatever. And I think she's back at the club singing or whatever.
Yeah, and she's pretty. She wears a lot of like really like evening gown kind of. She's like, she's not a topless dancer or anything like that. She wears those really elegant,
classy
like gowns in this establishment. So she's like talent, you know. She's like the singer, or like a real nice lounge singer.
So
interesting. And then she gets at some point, then the police hassle her again, and then they're like, look, if you want to go arrest the drug dealers, they're in this place. You know, right? Didn't that the scene where they do that? Right after?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, see now.
I know. It gets kind of goofy or whatever. Basically, it's like they're trying to use her to get the drug dealers.
And they just keep thinking that this guy's still alive.
Yeah, because there's no proof that nobody knows where he is.
Yeah, and you're like, no, he's gone. No one's heard of him for a month. Because even the cop was like, if you were married to her, would you stay away long? And he's like, no, he'll be back.
Yeah.
And then he never shows up
because
he's
dead. So
it's
weird because a lot of this movie is like cops and robbers, you know?
Yeah.
And drug dealers or whatever, you know, with the sci-fi thrown in as kind of like a little odd mix or whatever.
Because then he's like, the one guy is slapping her around. And then doesn't the blob comes through the window and kills him?
Yeah, one guy, the blob comes in and gets a guy.
And you're like, how would that blob just come to that one house? Like, it wouldn't know.
Well, the blob was, I guess the blob just kept, like, you know, basically, like, kept reforming itself or whatever. It definitely comes out of the sewers.
Yeah.
That's where it was found or whatever. So it just comes out of the manhole in the sewers and it got the guy or whatever. So you're like, oh, okay. And the cops see it and the scientists see it and they go like, see, now do you believe me? And
look, now my friend's being murdered by this thing. Do you believe it now? No, harumph. No. But now finally they do and they're like, oh my God, we better run back to the scientists and let it then figure out what's going on. And then the media starts getting a hold of it. That's what ramps everything up because they do the spinning Tokyo Times and God, blob makes people invisible. And they're showing more and more like just shirts and pants and stuff laying around. So
there's that one scene. There was one scene that was good when the blob gets this one guy. All you see is like the suit just kind of like, and it was kind of a cool. Creepy scene or whatever. So then, like, they decide, okay, well, then the military gets involved. Then they go, okay, we got to figure out what we're going to do because we think that this area is where all this blob's happening. We think it's coming out of the underground. So we're going to have to, like, you know, they figure out with the scientists that they got to, like, burn it or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we don't know.
We got to burn it. I think this is the way to kill it, you know, by getting rid of it that way,
and
or
that's how it's
and
like,
we got to MP up the city of the
we're gonna show Japanese people running because we always do in Japanese movies.
Of course,
And then after they run, then we're gonna cordon everything off and pump gas in there and burn it. And I was like, how is that gonna like logistically? There's no way to say this is where that thing is. It just goes wherever it wants. It's not like.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. There's not one of them. We don't know how many there are.
It seems to me like every time you get somebody, they become like an ectoplasm little guy or something like that.
So there'd be a lot of them.
There's probably a lot of them, yeah, but they all go down into their little...
Just hang out into the sewers. They're like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, exactly.
Of goo.
But then the driver shows up.
See, that's the thing. This is even close to the end because... After they say this is how we're going to do that, they go back to the whole leaning on the girl. Where's our drugs?
The guy
shows up and like
the driver shows up
and they take her back. Is this where they take her back to the? There's also another scene where they take them back to the like. There's almost like this final fight in the club. Was that before or after he drug her down? Is before he drug her down?
At the very end, when they're getting ready to when you remember?
Because he's like the guy that grabs her at the end is the one that pretended he took off his clothes and pretended to be eaten by the H man.
But he knows where the drugs are.
Yeah, he knows where the drugs are. It's so weird. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with the finale of The H-Man.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Rock, 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 rock and roll.
Rock and Roll High School is an album and a movie. Vince Van Patten is crazy about PJ Souls, but she wants to live a rock and roll fantasy with her favorite group, the Ramones.
Yeah, yeah, she's the one.
The new principal tries to stop the music, but the kids rock and wreck the school. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. Your school could be next. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. The new principal hates the students, but the kids take over and rock the roof off the school. Dig out the sounds of Paul McCartney and Wings. Fleetwood Mac, Devo, Nick Lowe, Chuck Berry, Todd Rundgren, Vince Fabric, Velvet Underground, Brownsville Station, MC5, Eno, Paley Brothers, Eddie and the Hot Rod, Alice Cooper, and starring the Ramones! Rock and Roll High School! Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Well, Sinead O'Rebellion. Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
That is so clever. I swear to God, you get smarter the shorter your skirt gets.
All right. Before we get going, I would also like to say, make sure you go check out DaddyOsScreenPrinting.com, your source for all T-shirts and posters screen printing
needs.
That would
be DaddyOs.com?
Nope, DaddyOsScreenPrinting.com.
DaddyOsScreenPrint on the internet.
Yes, the internet.
Did you do your own website?
Yeah, well, I'm working with Promi on that.
Okay.
I'm begging him to come over to help me make it better.
Make it better.
Please make it better. I don't like internet things. Please fix this thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that you're doing in there. You're getting real deep into it. You know what I mean?
It's a business. I mean,
you got a lot of screens that you just got and stuff like that. So.
Funny, yeah. Well, funny thing is, we're digressing from the movie. I hope everyone can stick.
Yeah,
with
just
us
for a minute.
I was always kind of like, because I'm kind of doing the, approaching it like a business, but very cautiously, not overbuying, just kind of, just working on it. This is a pretty expensive endeavor, but I'm not overextending. And well, then this week, I went to a place that just, literally, they took the class and said, meh, and they spent 20 grand and just said, this is what I do now.
Hmm.
And they failed, you know, because they had all the equipment, and then they had a place that was renting for like $650 a month, and I'm like, right off the bat, you have to sell like 1,000 shirts just to clear your rent. You're not even paying yourself yet. You have to have a business plan. You know,
one time I went on a job interview with this one place. You're competing against these companies that have those big screen printing machines
everywhere.
That just put a T-shirt in and it just pops it out.
Yep.
Print it on a T-shirt.
Yep. And they hate. I mean, those guys hate us small people. The small ones are just kind of getting jobs, and that's fine. Like I'm kind of, I don't know. Like I'm going more towards the paper printing, like posters, art posters,
stuff.
Because there's none of those around here, so I'm not really stepping on any toes. But shirts are paying the bills right now. Like
you know,
until I get art posters going. What I'll print whatever, you know?
I mean, people take high schools need shirts.
Everyone needs shirts, and I don't care what I'm saying. So
yeah. Unless they want to go out topless, that's against the law, I think.
Yeah, you know? I know. Stupid laws.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Enough of the. So it was just one of those things where I went to this. I bought up a whole bunch of used equipment because that's what I do. I buy up stuff that I know like half the price and just. My gain. You kind of get what you can get, but it was just one of those things where I was like, oof. So yeah.
So Daddy-O's.
Daddy-O's screenprinting.com. Go there and send a contact. Click the contact thing and say, hey, I need shirts, and then we'll figure out something.
And go, hey, I like Asian Cult Cinema too.
Yeah. Hey, enter Asian Cult Cinema for a special discount.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we're back. So now we go to this. They like set up this like final fight thing at the club.
And meanwhile, the guy kidnaps the girl and he's taking her.
This is right before this though. This is when the mayhem breaks out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah,
like the gangsters are there and the cops are there and they're diagramming how this all works, and then the the blob, the H blob shows up and starts killing people. And then the cops come out and they're like, hey, everyone's got to go. And then just mayhem ensues. And the H-man blob gets like a bunch of people. And then the head bad guy takes off his clothing and is like, well, he's not naked, but he takes off his clothing and pretends he's dead.
Yeah.
And he hides behind a bush. And then the one guy actually falls down and dies. And then this guy grabs the girl and he's like, yeah, you're going to take me to where the drugs are, or you know, where your boyfriend is. She's like, why won't anyone just accept that he's dead, you know?
Yeah, she's like, I told you a million times already.
I don't know. I don't know anything. And he's like, well, I do. Let's go down the sewer and get drugs. And you're like, what are we doing now? Because he's driving around. And he's like really rough with
her. And meanwhile, those are the sewers that the military's going to, you know, burn up.
Yep,
or,
yep.
Yeah.
So everyone's panicky Japanese people running. They love that. And then, so they're running and then running and running. And then they're like, okay, we're going to start lighting this stuff on fire. And they're down there. And the blobs are like on the ceilings. You can see them like moving around.
Yeah, green and glowing.
They're like rats. You shine a light in, they're like, oh, and they stop moving because they're, you know. They're
so it's the impression I get is every time it absorbs somebody, they turn into an H-man.
That's probably
a lot
logical.
Of H-man, and they all live in the sewers too. You know?
It would have been neat if like the one that came up and killed that guy would have looked like her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like superimpose him a little bit, like. Or you know, almost like a conscience. He wouldn't know why he was there, but he was there.
Or it would have been interesting is that if at the end, like after in a big fight when they're getting burned up, they all decide they all join up together. They become a big giant H-man or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla shows up and they get a big H-man versus Godzilla fight. That'll be for
the
future.
And he just blasts them with his radiation breath, like get off my city, and he just blasts them.
Yeah.
And he kicks over a couple of things in Tokyo and splits.
That's it. That's the ticket.
Yeah, and then Godzilla shows up.
And then Godzilla shows up, and then Mothra.
I actually put Mothra on the official one on the on my list for Netflix. So I'm going to be getting the official Netflix DVD for Mothra.
With the two little Mothra, the little peanut girl.
I love. I want to get the soundtrack from Mothra so I can listen to that record on vinyl. I'll be
The two little girl peanuts.
I'm sure it's on like a 78. You know what I mean? Like I want to get like the thick 78 record.
Yeah, and you want to crank up the. So anyway, we got all this stuff going on at the end. It's a free for all. You know,
it is totally a free for all.
You got
the editor was drinking coffee and he's smoking cigarettes. And he's just like frantically hacking stuff up. You know, you're like, you're like, what am I looking at here? What's going on?
I'm supposed to make this into a coherent movie.
I'm getting whiplash from all these scene cuts.
Yeah, come on. So he goes and they get the drugs. And while he's going to get the drugs, the H-man shows up and disintegrates him.
Yeah.
So the girl's like sitting there, running around. And then all of a sudden, the cop that likes her.
Oh yeah, because the head cop really likes this girl.
So he's kind of like following her.
Yeah.
So he grabs her and he runs out of the sewer with her, and then the sewers all catch up.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! And we hope that's the end of the H-man there, because I think it's the end.
And then she's like, "Oh, you saved me."
Yeah. I'm a bad girl, but a nice guy will. Yeah.
Let's go get married.
Yeah.
No, they didn't say that. But and you're like, how do you know the H-man's gone? You
were like. Well, because they never made a sequel, so he's gone.
I don't think that's the reason. I don't think that's the reason there wasn't an H-Man 2 Electric Boogaloo. I think
I'm sure the movie did okay, but I don't know. I guess it didn't catch on like Godzilla or Gamera or
like,
it was a little too like oddball genre.
Honestly, the Blob and the like those kind of movies, they don't ever get like a cult following.
They have
a cult following, but I mean they don't ever like. There's nowhere to go with it. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, there's a, like, with Godzilla, he has other monsters, he has other things, the Blob's just a blob. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, nowadays, if they did a new Blob movie, they'd find a way to repeat. If they did a new Blob movie, and it was a hit, they'd find a way to, like,
it'd be like the Blob versus the Fog, and then the Blob versus...
Yeah, the Blob versus the Fog,
versus the Icicle,
Yeah, the Blob versus the evil snowman.
I did love so many times in this movie, the H-Man, people were shooting at this thing with a gun. You're like,
all the time.
Shoot some slime with a gun, huh? I don't think that's going
to
do anything.
That's what you do when you don't know what else to do. You just shoot it.
You're like, well, did you try shooting it? Yeah.
Well, try shooting it some more and let's see what happens.
And then when you run out of bullets, you throw your gun at it. Yeah. Maybe that'll do it. You know.
And then Godzilla shows up.
And then Godzilla shows up with his radiation
with back. His guns.
And then if that doesn't work, you throw your shoe at it.
Yeah,
you know?
Hit it with his shoe. That's what
and
I
then
would
if
do.
That doesn't work, you throw some other guy or that, and then you run. You know, from the H Man. The H Man does look like the Blob, though. It was very cool.
And they were, of course, they were layers and layers of the. The bomb, hydrogen bomb. That's,
get that. Yeah,
That's standard fodder and all that stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't like it wasn't Hiroshima. It was they were doing some testing that happened. That's why it happened. The I forgot what the testing area was, but it was radiation from that.
Yep.
So
sure.
Yeah, but it wasn't the science in it was so like. You know, not really. It was.
It wasn't
like
even there. It was just like an afterthought.
Just barely there. They just put like soap suds on a frog.
I guarantee
you know?
They sat
the
there. They were watching the test prints of the dailies and everything. And they were like, "Man, this doesn't make any sense. What do we do? We should science this up by like 30%, 20%. Science it up by 20%." And they went home and they drank sake and they wrote a couple scenes and they're like, "Well, how about these?" And the guy looked at me and was like, "Get me a scientist and some tongs that hold a frog and we're doing science stuff." And then they just wrote it in.
And it's funny because back then, you know, I mean, I guess the musical numbers, you know, make sense with the storylines, but that was also like to, you know, to entertain the people. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Bring in the kids and you're going to get a couple of musical
scandally
numbers.
Scandally clad gal dancing around looking very pretty.
Yeah,
and,
but as a kid, you're watching it and you're going like,
when are we getting to the monster?
Where's the monster?
And the dad's like, when he's watching and the parents when they're watching this line, like, when are we getting to those dancing girls again?
Let's
you know,
let's get some jazz it up a little bit. You know, give something. You know, oh yeah, that's good. You know,
those jazz musicians with their reefer and topless dancing. All right, so you know, I liked it a lot. It was a really well made movie. Usually our standard fare for Asian cult cinema isn't quite this tight, you know. It was well done. The script was fine. You get lost a little bit in the bad guys are kind of this blur of gangster stereotype, and there's a couple too many of them. You're like, I can't, you know. You're like, okay, they got to put a patch over one or have a scar. It would be a little bit better, but
yeah,
you know.
but it's a movie.
You said it's a Honda. It's a Ishiro Honda.
And Ishiro Honda always a great movie.
Oh my God, yeah.
Especially when he had a nice budget, like these late 50s ones and early 60s. You could see
they were cutting checks.
You could see that they were big. After a while, you could see that they were like. You know, getting cheapening out. You know, a friend of mine made this point that he's saying he really thinks that the Godzilla cycle should have ended like with Destroy All Monsters. But I think what would happen was when they did that movie, there was a resurgence on television. And then they said, you know what? Let's make some more of them.
It's a valid point. It makes a valid point because there's so many timelines of Godzilla that are just like, why are we here?
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's really great stuff, but still.
And then when they came back in the 70s, they were a little more low budget than the other ones were. You can see that the quality went down a little bit.
And their hearts weren't in it.
Yeah.
A lot of those first ones, they were very serious movies and kind of like, they were made
they
like important
them,
movies.
Man.
They
yeah.
thought they knew they were making a good movie, an important movie. And then they just got, here's some stupid kids and let's dance. And
yeah, well, by the time Godzilla became a good guy, then you could see it kind of got kids. Got a kid. The first three or four are kind of like...
powerful movies.
They play it straight. Then the other ones were kids ones, but they were still good, you know. But once they got to Godzilla's Revenge and, you know, stuff like that, then you could see like...
Then it took another upturn when Mecha came around. It kind of
got a little
bit more serious.
It got better when Mechagodzilla,
All right, well, that's enough of that. We both love the movie. What do you give it? I'm going to say like an 8.
Yeah, 8. 8's a good number.
An 8. It matches with H. So
yes.
Okay. And that's it for this week. Right?
Yep,
okay. That go see it. Go see the H Man. Very fun, good Japanese movie. My name is Matt with me as always. And we're gonna see you next week for way more Asian cult cinema. I think we're gonna lean more towards the Asian cultish side, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Whatever you say.
I don't know. I'm trying to decide if it should be Pinky Violence or Kung Fu.
Pinky.
Yeah, it's always the right answer. Pinky see you next week, everyone.